Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Coverage of the NHL Draft on WGR is being brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Fiegel Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys. And by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for over 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods.
Downtown Buffalo, the NHL draft, it's here. It's in the building. We're here as well. We're in the building. We're high atop KeyBank Center here on WGR, and we're happy to be with you here for the NHL draft. It's in Buffalo. It's in Western New York. We're happy to be with you here. The Sabres have been exciting to talk about here since December 9th, and it just keeps rolling on here from the playoffs into now the 26-27 season. And we welcome you here to the Press Box. I'm Brian Colziel. Thank you for being with us. We're excited to be here. And we've got a big crew here as well. Derek Kramer, Brayton Wilson, Zach Jones, Joe Calley down on the floor here at KeyBank Center, Paul Hamilton out at One Bills Drive where the Sabres brass are set up. Very weird setup in the sense that the draft is literally in front of us here at KeyBank Center. But all the Sabres and Jarmo Kekäläinen and all the scouting staff, and they're out in Orchard Park where their setup is. But what a scene we have here. The draft is here, and we've got a nice crew. TJ Luckman producing back in our Amherst studios. We're happy to have TJ with us here controlling things. But, yeah, we've got up here in the press box, Brian Colziel, Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, Brayton Wilson. Then on the floor, Joe Calley. Out in Orchard Park, Paul Hamilton. So we've got a lot to get to here. We're going to hear from Commissioner Bettman coming up in just a few moments. Couches down on the floor, media behind that, then the TV broadcasts from ESPN and Sportsnet in the back. The big board and the podium area where Commissioner Bettman will be speaking momentarily down at the Zamboni end of the building. Fans sitting all the way up even into the top row at the 300 level here at KeyBank Center. And we have families of the highly touted prospects down on the floor in couches, kind of mini lounges set up for them, 16 of those set up down there. And there's other prospects that are sitting in the 100 level as well. So we're going to do the best to paint the picture for you all throughout the night, give you analysis. And obviously the Sabres have given us a ton to talk about here as we be rolling on. First, we'll start with Brayton. Brayton, are you ready to go here for another draft? I know you and I have been doing this here for the last handful of years, and I know you've been studying the prospects. All right, we'll get to Brayton in a minute. Zach, hello, good evening.
How you guys doing?
We're happy to have you.
I did not know if I'd get here in time, so I'm glad I got here just as you guys were going on air. We've got so much going on, which is almost strange because when you look about a week ago, they were going to pick a 27th overall. I think we were all kind of wondering, like, you know, what would that mean for a team that just had 109 points and won a division? And then in sort of the blink of an eye, they go from 20 overall, and now they have 20 and 4 overall, plus whatever else there might be in the trade rumors, the rumblings going on all day. It's just, it's such a fun time right now to be a Sabres fan.
Brayton, I know you spend quite a bit of your time watching the prospects, looking at maybe where the Sabres might be going. Well, your shift, or your focus shifted less than a week ago when the Sabres were picking at 27. All of a sudden, now 20, and now all of a sudden we add 4 into the mix too.
Yeah, it's been a wild little opportunity to be able to scout some of these prospects here because, again, as I was mentioning with Mike Chope earlier, I was focusing more so on a lot of the prospects that were down the list a little bit first. Then they acquired pick 20 with the trade with the Sharks and Kesselring, and then it's like, okay, I guess there's a few other prospects I'm going to have to look at. And then when they made the trade for pick 4, I was just kind of like, well, it's a little too late to do that. I'll just incorporate all that in my mock draft. But yeah, no, it's going to be interesting to see how things play out for the Sabres, if whether or not they're actually going to be able to trade pick 4. Pick 4 is a very good pick in the draft every year. That's why it's barely ever moved. And then we'll see what happens with pick 20. That one's more so the one that I think may be in play and may be able to move by the end of the night tonight.
Yeah, we know Jarmo Kekäläinen has been busy. Derek Kramer, good evening to you. Thanks for being on here. Jarmo's given us a ton to talk about here with already some of the moves. We know Ball Byram, Alex Tuck, even the move today for a new defenseman. So a lot of action here in Saberland, and we haven't even gotten to the start of the draft tonight.
Yeah, and the fact that they managed to trade for Zellweger, and it's only a part of the package from the Byram deal plus Anton Wahlberg. They already have kind of checked one of the three boxes here tonight when it comes to things that they need to do for their offseason to be seen a little bit more as a success. Everyone going in here remembering, okay, you are a worse roster than you were when you last were seen playing hockey in a game seven. Tuck left, Byram left, you traded Kesselring. But the Sabres have gone ahead and taken three players that we're not going to sign long-term extensions. And they turned it into moving up seven spots in the first round, the fourth overall pick, and now pick 45, which was packaged to acquire the Byram replacement in Zellweger. Pick number four, there's a lot of options. There's a lot of rumors. And something that Zach Jones and I said on the Extra Point Show today, Buffalo is not only the location, as you can hear it in the background, it's also the center of the NHL universe tonight.
It is. And the Jumbotron now kind of showing the highlights of what had been obviously a much different Sabre season than we had been used to talking about. 14 seasons in a row, we know the Sabres have been missing the playoffs, and now it is a return to the postseason. And with that, higher expectations. Zach, this team went to game seven of round two, literally one bouncer, one shot away from being in the Eastern Conference Finals. And now, as we enter the draft, we're thinking about, well, what can happen to maybe end the drought? Now, the discussion here on draft night for us is, what can happen to get them to the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, me and you were talking off air, just getting ready for tonight, and I said, like, I haven't felt this way about an offseason, about a draft, since 2015. It's the night they draft Jack Eichel. They trade for Ryan O'Reilly. I am in this building when that happens. It's me and my dad. We came for a draft party that was being held here. And I have the same feeling. I think the only difference is in 2015, it felt like maybe the sun was finally rising for the Sabres, where now, coming off a division win, coming off a series win, it feels like the sun has already risen. Now you're just going for more. And that's where, to Derek's point, they're not a better roster than when they played Montreal in Game 7. However, already it seems like you have a replacement for Byram. You're maybe better in a third pair on defense. And now the rumors out there, Jason Robertson, Matthew Nyes, Connor Hellebuck, it just feels like the Sabres, and Jarmo Kekäläinen in particular, have opened up almost every door possible for them to be not just a better team overall, but a team that, you know, going down the road in the next couple of years, players will look at much more seriously than they have over the last 15.
We do want to confirm something that we had talked about before we got on the air about J.J. Paterka. Emily Kaplan reporting that Utah is trading Paterka to the Bruins.
Wow.
Multiple first-round picks.
Oh, what? My goodness.
Wow. So that is a
no
surprising
way.
Return. It says Utah's return is multiple first-round picks. That according to Emily Kaplan from ESPN. So that is interesting. All right, Commissioner Gary Bettman is making his way to the stage and getting booed. No surprise there. All right, we're going to try to pick up the public address here in just one moment as the commissioner comes to the podium. No surprise that he's getting a nice warm welcome here, Zach, from the Buffalo fans.
I mean, you got to know what you got to know. You're going to do it. All right. It looks like
that's Deion Dawkins up there, yeah.
And Josh Stone as well.
Yeah, Josh Stone as well.
Yep. Deion's always dressed in style.
Yeah. All right, let's see if we can pick up some of the commissioner here. Stone, both being introduced.
He's been a Buffalo Bill ever since being selected in the 2017 NHL draft, and you've been here ever since.
Yes, sir. Look, when you're a Bill or a Sabre, you don't just play your home games here, you become a part of the community.
These fans adopt you, a neighbor, a brother, a son, sister. This becomes a huge family here in Buffalo. And they support you no matter what, and no matter what the weather conditions are as well. Sometimes you get rain, sometimes you get sleet, sometimes you get snow. Buffalo football fans showed that every week, and the Buffalo hockey fans showed it at the first Winter Classic. Josh, you were there a year ago yesterday. What a difference a year makes to the Sabres. It's been a pretty good year.
Yeah, as Dion said, there's nothing that compares to playing in front of these fans, running to these people at the grocery store, wherever you are, restaurants, they're always there to say hi. It's an honor to represent them every day. It was a thrill this year to get back to playoff hockey and show up. Excited to host our fourth draft here in Buffalo.
Thank you to the Sabres organization, particularly owners Terry and Kip Pagula, and the city of Buffalo for being such welcoming hosts this week. Congratulations to all the prospects in attendance tonight and all around the hockey world who will hear their names called this weekend. And to the parents, family members, coaches, and friends who made it possible for you to pursue your hockey dreams, congratulations.
So as we all know, Buffalo is a beautiful place. We've been seeing all night. There's a lot of make-believe fans out here. We know you guys have been watching.
All right, so there you have it. Commissioner Bettman, Deion Dawkins from the Bills, Josh Jones from the Sabres. And a nice introduction there from all of them. I thought that was a nice touch to bring out two favorites from the two local teams.
Very much local favorites here. Doan, I mean, really out of nowhere in a year, went from kind of a throwing piece for a trade to all of a sudden, you know, a main character. And that trade, by the way, Paterka already off to another team, going to Boston for a pair of first-round picks. And then Deion Dawkins, one of the more beloved Bills players of the last 25 years.
Yeah, and we know now Toronto is on the clock. One quick reaction before we start to talk about the Leafs here is that trade. Paterka, that's two. That's 1-2, Derek. Two first-round draft picks.
Hey, you know
that's
what?
That's not like
200. That's TWO. Two first-rounders for Paterka.
I mean, good for Utah. Good for Utah to recover some assets there on a player that got benched or really shuffled down to the fourth line toward the end of the postseason first round for the Mammoth. I do wonder if it was more or less like a bit of a chemistry fit between Coach Andre Turgeny, who got an extension, and then Paterka, who ends up on the fourth line in the postseason. To get two first-round picks out of that, that's a big deal. And I guess Utah recoups a little bit on what was seen as an overwhelming loss.
That's right. All right, so more on that, obviously, throughout the night. Brayton, let's bring you back in here as the Leafs are up, and we know that most have thought that this is where we see McKenna go. What's the argument for him and maybe the argument for anything else other than him?
Draft was that Gavin McKenna was that next generational player. He goes from the Medicine Hat Tigers in the Western Hockey League to the Penn State University Nittany Lions his first draft year. It doesn't start out well for him in the year. However, he does manage to bounce back and put up a really decent season in the college ranks. He put up 51 points in 35 games. 15 of those points were goals. So he certainly was able to turn himself around. He was able to get acclimated to the college ranks, play well to the physicality. And I think it just continued to show that he truly was all along the best prospect. There's only one guy in my eyes that was even close, and that's Ivar Stenberg. But Gavin McKenna, to me, should be the pick here at number one overall to Toronto.
Pick is in. Let's go down to the commissioner. Gary Bettman egging on the crowd here.
It is now time for the first pick in the 2026 NHL Draft. Please welcome one of the Toronto Maple Leafs' most diehard and iconic fans.
Well, they're waiting for him to be introduced.
Justin Bieber.
That's Justin Bieber. Oh, no.
Man, what an incredible night. Oh, man, the child in me is ecstatic right now. I've been a Leafs fan since I was just a little boy. And these nights are so special. I'm so grateful to be here. But we got something to talk about right now. And if you follow me, what's going on, guys? How are you? What's going on, guys? How are you guys? Hey, hey. We got something to share with you guys tonight. I don't know if I'm supposed to come up right up here. Hey, how are you? Good, good, good. Thanks for having me tonight. Yes, sir. Should I go for it? Mr. McKenna, we would like to draft you to our Maple Leafs.
All right, so there it is now officially, McKenna to the Leafs. That was probably 99% of what all people thought, if not 100%, Zach, that was going to be the selection.
It may have been 100% too with the rumors that they were going to have a special guest announcing the pick. I think it was between Drake and Justin Bieber, so there were many people out there that nailed that 100%. McKenna, he started off slow at Penn State. He really got going, I think, an eight-point game against Ohio State in his freshman season as well. And so now we'll see what goes on with the Maple Leafs, adding Darren Radish. They're keeping Austin Matthews. We will see about Matthew Nyes. But I think the Maple Leafs getting the number one overall pick in the draft lottery radically changed what they are doing this offseason. I think it is fair to wonder if they don't win the lottery, they may not even have a first-round pick, and it may completely alter what their offseason plans were.
What went wrong with Toronto this year? I mean, this was a team. We knew the Sabres had to leapfrog some teams, Derek, in order to make the postseason. But I would not have predicted it to be Toronto. I would have thought, well, maybe they'll grab a wild card spot from the Penguins, or they'll maybe pass Montreal. But no, Toronto was one of those teams that ultimately they finished ahead of, which got them a playoff spot. What was wrong with the Leafs?
What went wrong for the Leafs was a good combination of things. You lose Mitch Marner for effectively just the return of Nicolas Waugh. And more painfully than that, it's also coaching from Craig Berube, really trying to like alter Austin Matthews' role. Then Matthews also gets injured. Toronto does deal with a bevy of injuries. But it seemed like a down year was something that could have been seen coming. It's just not to the degree that we had seen. And like Zach mentioned, there was a better percentage that they didn't have a first-round pick at all, because the Brandon Carlo trade really backfired on them. And instead, they win the lottery, they get McKenna, and we'll see what we get there. But yeah. The crowd has an interesting reception to one Justin Bieber out there on the stage.
Yeah, so Gavin McKenna, the left winger from Penn State, going to Toronto, and now the San Jose Sharks are up next. Austin Matthews actually is up on the Jumbotron right now and here too as well, giving a little message. But so we know McKenna to Toronto. And I would guess that the expectation, Brayton, if we want to bring you back in here, is that we'll see McKenna on the ice this upcoming fall. Is that what you would think as well?
I would anticipate that they're going to try to get him to the NHL level at this point. You know, could he go back to college and continue to further develop his game and get a little stronger? Absolutely. But I truly believe that he'll probably make the jump to the NHL right away and play for Toronto. Now, interesting here, guys, with this second pick, this is really where the draft does start. We kind of all figured that Gavin McKenna was going to be the number one overall pick. Number two is where things get interesting. Does San Jose stick to what's been widely reported as them being locked in on Ivar Stenberg? Or do they try to go for a guy like Chase Reed, who's widely regarded as the best defenseman in the entire draft class, a really good mobile puck-moving defenseman? Or do they kind of go off the board here and maybe take a guy like Caleb Malhotra, who's the best center in this draft? But I personally, again, think it will be Ivar Stenberg, but it wouldn't be entirely surprising if they go with defense, because they are lacking a little bit in the defensive prospect pool, and they have enough forwards in that group where they could afford to take a guy like Chase Reed to add him to the defense and make him a top-flight defenseman in the future.
All right, so San Jose is up here as Gavin McKenna is doing some of the interviews down on the stage, so we'll let that go here while we got so much to talk to here. Zach, we've been following rumors all over the place. You know, the Sabres at this moment still picking four, but There has been some scuttlebutt that San Jose and Buffalo could have been talking. Did you see any sort of thought here of Buffalo moving up to two here at this moment?
Well, I do wonder about number two. I will say, though, right before the draft got underway, David Pagnotta of the fourth period, he says that they are actively, and this is the Dallas Stars, looking to move Jason Robertson at this time. I think that's something to look to. Seattle is interesting. I think if they didn't have that second top 10 pick, then there could be real discussions here about them wanting to maybe move back to four. They can take the defenseman, then they can go forward. But for right now with San Jose, I think it's going to be probably just take the best player available. They may have a just plethora of Richards at the forward position. But I also think for the Sabres as well, they may not feel the desire to go up to number two, because they can just sit there and go, we'll take Chase Reed. If you don't take Stenberg, we'll take him. Malhotra's out there. I think for the Sabres right now at four, it also may be better for them as well, if they are getting calls about the pick for a player right now, to just hang out there, wait, and see what offers come in as you get closer to your pick.
All right, so the NHL draft underway here from live from KeyBank Center. 2026 underway. Gavin McKenna, the first-round draft pick. The San Jose Sharks are now officially on the clock as Gary Bettman introduces them, so they have 3 minutes to make their selection. So we'll keep it here before we take our first break here so we can get the Shark selection, and then after they make their pick, TJ, we'll take our first timeout. Again, Buffalo right now picking at 4-20.
I was going to say, they just had 3 minutes to make their pick.
Yeah, that's why I thought the three was not going to be officially.
It's a bit of a misnomer, to say.
Justin Bieber had to do his interview with Gavin McKenna.
That's right.
That had to happen.
All right.
Pause the clock.
Let's officially update here on this J.J. Paterka trade with Utah and Boston. So Paterka to the Bruins,
and Utah gets two first-round draft picks back, a 2026 first-round draft pick, and a 2028 top 10 protected draft pick. That is one that they obtained from Florida. So first-rounder in 26, first-rounder in 28, top 10 protected there. Paterka to the Bruins. And I mean, does it make Boston maybe better right now? I guess, but I don't know, Zach, if I would have unloaded one first-round draft pick for J.J. Paterka, let alone two.
No, and you got to wonder now if Boston is thinking it was a more of a coaching issue or just a scheme fit that was not working for Utah. Now, with that, though, I mean, again, a little bit over a year, the trade for both teams ultimately is not very good. For the Sabres, though, it is saved by Josh Stone, but it is kind of entertaining that the two main pieces of those deals are off their teams already. Now, for Boston, this is going to be interesting. We saw in that first-round series, kind of past Pastrnak, they didn't really have any offensive oomph. They needed to really – they couldn't score, quite honestly, towards the end of the year. I think they're hoping for that with Paterka, but, for Sabres fans at least, I think the issue with Paterka and maybe the issue that's going to follow him forever, he is just not a complete player. And there are going to be nights he takes off, and you saw it at the end of the year. Derek brought it up as well. He was shuffled down the lineup till he was basically not unplayable, but just you never really saw him. And that was the big move for Utah last year. Like, that was the move that was supposed to signal they had arrived, and a year later he's off the team. Now Utah picks again tonight with Boston's pick, but 2028 top 10 protected, first round pick for Florida, based off the Brady Tkachuk trade as well. You might think that in 2 years they're, picking in the 20s. So, how valuable is that first round pick? I don't know if I really like this for anybody, because it's more the feeling of how I feel with the players. Paterka, I don't really know how much he's going to help Boston.
Yeah. Well, the Sharks, we know, are super fun to watch. Macklin Celebrini putting up a ton of points, 45 goals last year, Derek. I mean, that's a team that you're picking second, and I feel like you've got so much potential. We know they're explosive. They probably need some help on the defensive side of things, as you mentioned, too. Like, will they go D here? We'll see with Reed or not, but man, this is a team that if I'm a Sharks fan, just as I'm excited about maybe a young Sabres up-and-coming team here, I could say a lot of things about the Sharks, too, that I think are exciting and upcoming for this group.
It's kind of funny. They have it up on the main board down there. Recent notable Sharks first-round picks with Eklund, Misa, Celebrini, and Will Smith. It might be something in San Jose where things can get very interesting. Brayton said, the draft starts now. And this can impact the Sabres at four. Is it Chase Reed on defense? Is it going to end up being Ivar Stenberg? With Vancouver so heavily linked to Caleb Malhotra, this is going to impact immediately what the Buffalo Sabres will want to do at four, vice versa on what the Sharks do here and pending what's going on. We don't see the timer anymore, so I'd imagine the pick is in.
Yeah. One other note we should mention, by the way, we were talking about Boston acquiring Paterka. Elliot Friedman reporting that former Sabres general manager Kevin Adams is going to be joining the Bruins front office. So we knew with how the Sabres season turned out that Adams might get a second chance somewhere, not necessarily instantly as a general manager, but Zach, that is going to be where Adams maybe ends up coming here, is that he's going to head and get into the Bruins. Okay, the pick is in for San Jose. And we're going to head down to the podium here and get the...
The enthusiasm. Making the second selection for the San Jose Sharks is an Olympic gold medalist who last week became the first draft pick of the new PWHL franchise in San Jose. Layla Edwards.
Thanks for having me tonight, and I'll just get right into it. I love it. There we go. You guys let it play out?
Yeah. should have brought the gold medal.
I know. I should have brought the gold medal, he said. Dang it. Dang it. Well, with the second overall selection in the 2026 NHL Draft, the San Jose Sharks are proud to select from the Frölunda Swedish League, Ivar Stenberg.
Okay, so Stenberg goes from the Swedish League to the San Jose Sharks organization. Probably the next expected pick there, no surprise. And that means the Sabres are now just two away. Vancouver coming up next here. All right, before we take a break, Brayden, let's get one thought with you on the pick here. Stenberg to San Jose.
Not entirely surprising. Stenberg is probably the next best player, at least in my eyes, that's available in this draft. A super, really skilled playmaker, cerebral all over the ice. He's hardworking, nose to the grindstone sort of player. Super skilled guy that, in my books, was the closest that he, you know, anyone came to Gavin McKenna being at number one or even potentially eclipsing him. San Jose just gets richer with their prospect pool, with their NHL talent. And Stenberg is another guy that, if I don't know how exactly it's going to work out for him next season, because I don't think he's under contract in Sweden. So if San Jose feels he's best to come to North America and try to play right away in the NHL or in the AHL, that's a possibility. And if that's the case, then just like San Jose just looks incredible from, you know, in their forward group all the way down.
Yep. All right, so Sharks are done with their pick, and it's pretty much gone as expected for one and two. It's Vancouver and then Buffalo. We will take our first time out here from KeyBank Center. We are broadcasting live from the site of night one of the NHL entry draft with Brayden Wilson, Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly down on the floor, Paul Hamilton in Orchard Park. I'm Brian Colziel. We're two picks away from Buffalo. We'll be back with more live coverage right after this on WGR.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Draft on WGR is being brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Fiegel Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys. And by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for over 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods.
Back here to KeyBank Center. We're live on the, up in the press box. Brian Colziel, Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, Brayden Wilson, Joe Kelly, Paul Hamilton is in Orchard Park, TJ Luckman producing. The Vancouver Canucks have just made a selection. It's Caleb Malhotra. Brayden, this is probably where you had him slotted in as well, right?
I had him actually slotted to Buffalo at four.
At four? Oh, okay.
So it's not, again, it's not entirely surprising. Caleb Malhotra, obviously his dad is the head coach now of the Vancouver Canucks, Manny Malhotra. Both of these players are now first round picks. Manny was a first rounder of the New York Rangers back in 1998, and now his son is the third overall pick of the Vancouver Canucks, the team he now is coaching. And best center in the draft class. And in a class that's relatively weak at the center position, Caleb Malhotra is the best center. He's a really, really good, solid two-way guy. Plays super reliable at both ends of the ice. Hold on, I had his stats up here. But 84 points in the stint that he had. It was his first year in Brantford playing with the Bulldogs. But probably a guy that's going to go play a year, maybe two of college hockey. He's committed to Boston University, so he'll be able to continue his growth and his development at the collegiate ranks, get a little stronger, a little more physical, and a nice pick here for the Vancouver Canucks, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And we had a trade during the break as well. Derek, I don't know, do you have the details on that? Right, Dorofeev on the move?
Yeah, I don't know if we have the details yet, but a pending RFA for the Vegas Golden Knights scored plenty of important goals for them in the playoffs as well. And Pavel Dorofeev, he is heading to the New York Rangers. And with that being said, Emily Kaplan of ESPN is reporting the number 5 overall pick is not involved in that trade for Dorofeev.
It's pick 26. That's right. Part of the trade. Pick 26. Is going back to Vegas as part of the deal. Elliot Friedman is now tweeting. He's got the trade details.
Dorofeev to the Rangers in exchange for the first for the 26th overall pick, which is originally Dallas's, a 2026 third overall, 92nd overall, and then a top 10 protected first round pick in 2028.
And right. Now we've got the Buffalo Sabres on the clock. Chase Reed available there, right-handed shot defenseman from Sault Ste. Marie. Carson Carroll's out of the WHL, Prince George. Of course, Viggo Bjork, if you're looking for your defenseman, everything that we hear about him, Brian, is dog, as if the Sabres need more of those, right? And then you've got other names like Daxon Rudolph or Keaton Bearhoff as more right-handed shot defensemen that are within the proper range here for the Sabres to make the selection.
Let me just say this about Viggo Bjork, Derek. You talk about him.
Mm-hmm.
You want an exact, or as close as a clone to Zach Benson in this draft class, that's Viggo Bjork. If you're drafting Viggo Bjork, you're getting essentially Zach Benson 2.0, who's only just a few years younger than him.
Well, I'm also thinking there's a minute 55 left for a trade to occur here. Zach, I know that's mm-hmm. where the big news could be coming from, whether there's a monster name like Connor Hellebuck or Dylan Larkin or Zach Werenski or any of those names. Like, if that's going to happen, it might have to happen right now here in the next minute.
It would have to happen right here in the last minute. I'll also say, too, I think the Sabres would want this kind of moment. It's unsurprising that even if they wanted to trade the pick, they haven't yet. I think they want to have a big moment, whether it is picking somebody at four, Chase Reed or whoever it is, or having that moment. I wonder about the Hellebuck stuff. It seemed like that had slowed down late this afternoon. I already mentioned David Pignota bringing up that Jason Robertson, the Dallas Stars, are looking to trade him, at least at the start of the draft. We will see. I'm fine, honestly, either way, if they trade the pick or if they make the pick, because ultimately if they do bring in, now Chase Reed being the defenseman would be interesting. They've almost seemingly become chock full of young defensemen in the last couple of drafts and then now the last couple of hours. So I do wonder if they go forward here. Malhotra made a lot of sense. He's gone, unsurprisingly, to Vancouver where his dad is the coach. I'm really curious to see where Yarmo goes. I still think 20 is the likely pick if they trade, but if there is a big game out there, it's going to be with four. Yarmo feels like that guy now that maybe not is not on a hot streak, but boy, it does feel like he is batting 1,000 so far through this offseason. You want to see if he can keep it rolling.
The Sabres, by the way, in the history of their franchise, have never picked at four. So this is, in some sense, a unique spot. Well, it definitely is a unique spot. They've never, ever selected in the fourth position. By the way, players that have recently gone fourth overall, Boehm Byram, 2019, fourth overall. Brady Tkachuk, we, of course, just had a little news with him lately in that move to Florida. He was taken fourth overall in 2018. 2017, Cale Makar went. So some great players have gone to pick four. Mitchell Marner, 2015 at four. All right, the Sabres about to make their selection here. The commissioner is coming up to introduce it, and we'll pick up the feed now here to hear from the commissioner and who's going to introduce the Sabres selection.
It's in. And here's the commissioner, Gary.
Making the selection for the Buffalo Sabres, please welcome back Dion Dawkins and Josh Stone.
Buffalo, I think it's only right? We have a lot of unfinished business, but I get the honor to announce and bring to the stage Thurman Thomas. Oh, this is awesome. With the fourth overall selection in the 2026 NHL draft, sorry about that. The Buffalo Sabres are proud to select from the Prince Albert Raiders, Daxon Rudolph.
Okay, so there it is, Thurman Thomas, Bills Hall of Fame running back. needing to be reminded that it's the NHL draft, not the NFL draft. But Brayton, maybe a surprise here. How much of it is a surprise?
Quite a bit, just because, and there's no denying Daxon Rudolph is a talented defenseman. I just think that Chase Reed was better. Carson Carroll's might have been better. Keaton Verhoef might have been better. Or Albert Schmitz might have been better from Latvia. Daxon Rudolph, he's a good two-way centerman, a potential top four guy. He put up 78 points in the Western Hockey League with Prince Albert. 28 of those was goals. So that's one thing that is in his favor, is he's a goal-scoring type of defenseman. He is a right-shot defenseman. So that's at least an attractive feature about a guy like Daxon Rudolph. The thing that I do have concerns with him is that he does have tendencies to kind of disappear and struggle at times, so the consistency factor with his game is a little alarming for me. However, the good news is with him is that he is going to the University of Denver for his college hockey next year. And of course, University of Denver, David Carl is one of the best college programs in the entire league. They just won another college championship. So Daxon Rudolph is got a good shot. He skates well. Some consistency issues that I find in his game, but if he can put it all together, he will be a nice addition. 6'3", by the way, and 205 pounds.
Where did you have him going in your mock?
In my mock, I had him going 9th overall to San Jose.
Okay,
so that's where the Central scouting had him as well, around the 9th area there. But like Brayton said, 6'2", 206. He ends with 78 points in 68 games, though, in the WHL this past season. This is a guy that's going to get point production, and if they want to go further into it with the future, if you've redeemed Mirka and you have Daxon Rudolph here, it looks like an interesting combination of size and scoring if you want to look into the future years.
So Daxon Rudolph, the one thing that I do like about him is he does have a lot of calm and composure to his game. He's a guy that's very similar to like Noah Oslin, where he's head up all the way, scanning the ice, surveying everything, and he's good to get the puck off of his stick. He's an effective playmaker from the blue line. He's smooth. His skating is complete. So, again, it's the consistency factor that I'm a little concerned with. It's not terrible, but if he can take his game to the next level, then that would be ideal for the Buffalo Sabres going forward.
Yeah, so more than a point per game. So offensively, Zach, we know this kid has some skill. And likely, again, not that we'll see him in a Sabres uniform next year. I don't want to say officially that, but he is committed to the University of Denver for this upcoming NCAA season. So a proud moment for his family. They put his parents up here on the screen at the Jumbotron, and you can see that it's a nice moment for them. Zach, I think one thing being in person here, I know we can all take this in. There's moments for these families that have been essentially working for them since they strapped on skates probably at like at age 2. I mean, this is a culmination of a really cool moment for them.
It is. And I mean, any draft you watch, whether it be the NBA, which just happened, NFL back in April, like seeing the families have that moment. I think especially too for somebody like Daxon Rudolph, who maybe wasn't expecting to go this high. So now you have that surprising moment. You wonder if somebody like a Gavin McKenna was able to sort of rationalize that it's going to happen. He's going to be the first overall pick. And while you still have that emotional release, I do enjoy stuff like this as well, where Rudolph maybe did not expect to go this high. I mean, as Brayton pointed out, he's still a top 10 guy ultimately. But to go number 4, he gets to go to the team that is hosting the draft as well. So you have those moments. I'm excited, though, for the offensive potential. That's where the Sabres were so good last year. They were one of the best offensive defensive teams. Mirka seems to be one of those guys. I mean, a much bigger frame with Mirka at 6'6", but Daxon Rudolph, him being 6'2", over 200 pounds, 28 goals last year in the WHL. I just, my only thing that I'm now really wondering about is you are chock full of defensive prospects in your pipeline, and then you add, albeit an RFA, another young defenseman today in a trade. That's where I do wonder. I mean, Mirka was already part of a trade that doesn't go through with Jarmo Kekalainen as the general manager. Now you wonder, I mean, not saying that Daxon Rudolph may not be a Buffalo Sabre by the end of the night, but I do wonder about Roddy Mirka by the end of the night.
Yeah. All right, well, the defenseman Daxon Rudolph is the selection for the Buffalo Sabres. We will take a timeout here from KeyBank Center. We'll hear from Rudolph coming up shortly. Joe Calley down on the floor. He'll get a chance to talk to him. We'll have that interview coming up. The Rangers are up at pick 5, and don't forget the Sabres still picking at 20th overall. Brayton Wilson, Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, Joe Calley, Paul Hamilton's out in Orchard Park. We'll also get his reaction coming up on the pick here in just a few moments as our continuing draft coverage continues live from KeyBank Center here at the site of the 2026 NHL Draft on WGR.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
NHL Draft on WGR is being brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Fiegel Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys. And by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for over 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods.
.754, we welcome you back here to the press box at KeyBank Center. Our continuing live draft coverage continues. Daxon Rudolph, defenseman, going to Buffalo at pick 4, the first D off the board. But now the Rangers is going with Albert Smits, another D. So two picks done. Calgary is on the clock at pick number 6. We have to take another timeout. We'll come back, continue our coverage here. We're live at the site of the 2026 NHL Draft here at KeyBank Center in downtown Buffalo on WGR.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.